Beautiful duet. It's so fun in the summer to get to hear people sing solos and duets and group songs. This week, Karen Nye sent a beautiful photo of a forest, and it's in your bulletin, but it's in black and white, so you can't quite get the depth of the photo. But it was filled with beautiful different trees, some of them an olive green, some lime green, some green green, Christmas green, beautiful greens in it. And it said these words, "When you go out into the woods and you look at trees, you see all these different trees, and some of them are bent, and some of them are straight. Some of them are evergreens, and some of them are whatever. And you look at the tree and you allow it. You appreciate it. You see why it is the way it is. And you sort of understand that it didn't get enough light, and so it turned that way. And you don't get all emotional about it. You just allow it. You appreciate the tree. And the minute you get near humans, you lose all of that. And you're constantly saying, well, you're to this, and I'm to this, and the judging mind comes in. And so I practice turning people into trees, which means appreciating them just the way they are. Well, today we finish our biblical tree series with a story well known, I think, to most of you, a story about Zacchaeus in a sycamore tree. And we're also beginning a new series of Build Your Own sermons, which will be the topics each week through the rest of the summer that you all have suggested, either scriptures that you want me to talk about or ideas, concepts, questions that you would like me to preach about. So one person asked, how is it that we are worthy of God's love? And I decided to combine today's sermon with that topic. So it's the end of the tree series and the beginning of Build Your Own series. And it just so happens that the story of Zacchaeus and the tree is actually answering the question about worthiness that was asked. Now, in the ordination liturgy, which we're going to get to experience in a couple of years with Paul, there's just one tiny thing that bothers me. Doesn't matter who the ordinand is. When they stand before the congregation and are introduced by those who know him or her best, it's a very humbling experience to stand on the chancel and to hear your family and friends and colleagues speak about you, and then they come and they lay hands on you, where ministers and elders of the churches come forward and symbolically pass on the Holy Spirit to this new minister. And then after the laying on of hands, these words are said. Name, you are worthy of the ministry to which you have been called. Well, this sentence bothered me, caused me great angst at my own ordination. And everyone since then, I sort of get those cold chills. Worthy? Can anyone be worthy of God's work? Well, today's tree story is that famous sycamore tree in which Zacchaeus sat to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And when we think of a sycamore tree, we think of austere, big, tall, stout trunks and huge branches, giant leaves that tumble to the ground by the thousands in the fall. But sycamore trees in the Holy Land are not quite the same as our sycamore trees. In fact, a more accurate description would be a sycamore fig tree. These trees are diminutive and little. They're sort of a scrubby kind of tree, and they bear a fig-like fruit that really isn't a fig, but you can make them taste just a little bit better by each time the fruit is on the tree, someone climbs into the tree and slices the berries open, and that makes the fruit edible. with the procedure of cutting the little fruit, it makes it just barely likable. If you don't like figs, you would give up on sycamore figs, okay? The fruit is reserved, at least in the ancient world, for the poor people. And comparing the fruit of a real fig tree to the fruit of a sycamore fig tree would be like comparing fish sticks to fresh fish, or soy product produced item to real beef. And knowing this about the fruit of the sycamore tree makes the story a little bit more interesting. So if you would, in the bulletin, there is the traditional word, and I would ask you all to have one part in it. You all are the crowd. And so at the end of the second paragraph, the crowd says, "What business does he have getting cozy with this crook?" You all get to say that because you're the crowd, all right? Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there. His name was Zacchaeus, the head tax man and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today I will be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck. He was delighted to take Jesus home with him. And everyone who saw this incident was indignant and grumped. Okay, a little bit more indignant. Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I give half of my income away to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages." And Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find rest and to restore the lost." Thank you for humoring me, even though you weren't quite indignant enough. Zacchaeus and the sycamore fig tree had a lot in common. If you hadn't figured that out yet, here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, but both of them were looked down upon as lowlifes. And yet Jesus offered this special attention to Zacchaeus and even announced to the crowd that Zacchaeus was a blood brother through their common ancestor Abraham. It makes a nice story and a good children's song, right? You all know the song. No? Sing with me if you know it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today." I thought everybody would know that. You guys didn't go to church camp, did you? Well, what does all this have to do with us, you ask? Well, let's look again at the story, the things that were told about Zacchaeus and about the tree. They were both short, and they were both looked down upon. First, they were short. Do you remember that song that hit the charts several years ago entitled "Short People"? Yes, some of you remember that. I'm not going to make you sing it. But some of the lyrics are, "Short people got no reason to live. They got little hands, little eyes. They walk around telling great big lies. They got little noses and tiny little teeth. They wear platform shoes on their nasty little feet. Well, I don't want no short people around here. They got little baby legs. They stand so low, you gotta pick them up just to say hello. They got little cars that go beep, beep, beep. They got little voices going beep, beep, beep. They got grubby little fingers and dirty little minds. They're going to get you every time. Short people got no reason to live. Well, in a modern world, if we can say those words about short people, just imagine what the people of Jesus' day would have said about a short person. Because the value of a person in Jesus' day was measured by their ability to work. And a small, short man was looked down upon, literally and figuratively, and even shunned. But today, in our modern world, even now, some short people say that their self-esteem has suffered from growing up with the cruel taunts and the jabs because of their height. My father-in-law used to talk about being raised on a farm in Nickerson, Kansas, and he was not tall enough at 5'1" to get on a horse to go to school. And so he didn't go. When Jesus singled Zacchaeus out in the crowd, Zacchaeus must have thought to himself, oh no, another insult coming my way. Instead, Jesus wanted to spend the evening with him. Isn't it just like Jesus to take time to spend with a person others had no use for? And this is where it hits home to us. Whether we are seen by the world as too tall, too short, too fat, too skinny, too smart, too dumb, or just irritating in general, God values us. The cruel things that people say and the hateful messages that are projected onto us and those inner tapes that go in our heads that tell us we're not good enough, those are null and void for people of faith. They may hurt us because they dig into the core of who we are, but if Jesus can love a messed up kind of guy like Zacchaeus, who was the butt of every joke and the worst kind of thief, then he can love you and me. Another commonality between the sycamore tree and Jesus, and Zacchaeus, was that they were both looked down upon. Now, I've explained about the sycamore fig tree and how it was substandard because its fruit tasted terrible, and only those who ate it were the poor who couldn't afford the good fruit. Well, we know that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Remember that the Jewish people in this time were slaves to the Romans, and the Roman government, to add insult to injury, taxed their slaves. Taxed their slaves. And to add insult to injury again, they hired Jews to collect the taxes from other Jews. How would you feel if one of your own came knocking to take a little bit of the meager part that you were trying to live on and gave it to your oppressor? For Jesus, a Jew, to give the best of his time of day to a tax collector was unbelievable to all those in the crowd. But isn't it just like Jesus to reach out to someone who was looked down upon by others? And once we're freed from that harsh judgment of other people, we want to share that freedom and that joy with others. And that's why Christians are called to unconditional and even frivolous love. We're called to open our hearts and our actions to the Zacchaeus types in our lives, the traitors, the greedy, the outcast, and the downright annoying people. Zacchaeus' story is full of faith and love. Zacchaeus was made worthy, not by his own action, but by God's action. And Jesus did even more than affirm Zacchaeus. He said that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham, so he brought him into the family. And since Jesus was the son of Abraham, this made them brothers. How is it that Zacchaeus was worthy? How is it that we are worthy? We aren't. But love makes it so. Thanks be to God for this radical love, that when we say, "What business does he have getting cozy with this crook?" Jesus says, "I'm coming to your house to eat dinner with you." Amen. Our choral benediction is printed in your bulletin. You're invited, as you're able, to stand, and let's sing together. So go out into the world this week looking for the Zacchaeuses of our world, the people who have no reason to live, and invite them over for dinner. Amen.